This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the Blueberry Combo by Design Studio in Columbus, Ohio. The lead stories are Amazon has a big earnings report. The FTC warns robocallers. The FCC also is going to be wants to apply a fine of $13 million for a single robocaller. And how much are we paying today for all these onesie-twosies subscription services? I want to welcome you to episode 1421 of the Geekness Central podcast for Thursday, January 30th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. Your support of this show is much appreciated by donating at geeknesscentral.com/insider. We're live today on Facebook, and Facebook only because I'm here in the Columbus office. I want to give all of you a warm welcome, all the new listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Definitely get over to geeknesscentral.com. When you're on the website, get subscribed to the show. I definitely appreciate it when you do so. You can subscribe to the newsletter as well right on the website. You'll find that link there. That'll get you all the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. You can listen to this podcast on blueberry.com, or you can listen on your smart home device by saying the magic word to launch that device and say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. You can join our three chat rooms at geeknews.chat, which is a Mastodon server, or on Slack by sending me an email. I'll give that to you here in a second. Or on Discord, and the Discord link is listed at geeknewscentral.com. If you want to join our Slack channel, all you got to do is send me an email to geeknews@gmail.com or reach out to me on Twitter at geeknews as well. And of course, make sure you follow me on Facebook. Partner shows are all linked at Geek News Central, and they include GNC Week in Review, The Gadget Professor, the Pro Gear site written by my writing team, the new media show, and podcast legends. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. This show is sponsored by the longest running continuous of a podcast, and that is our good friends at GoDaddy.com. Get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Pick up a domain name for $4.99 or get 30% off a new product purchase. The two best deals on the site include two hosting deals. Manage WordPress hosting for 99 cents a month for the first 12 months, which includes a free domain name, or a standard hosting account, again, at $1 a month for the first year, and includes a free domain name. $12 gets you online, get you started at GoDaddy. All these codes are available at geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. Of course, if you're a business owner, you can sign up for our business builder plans as well. All those are available on the website. Again, a 30-day free trial on those, business plus, and so forth. Definitely check them all out, again, at geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. If you have already picked up a product or service from GoDaddy and really have no need for a new product or service, that's okay. You can reach out to your friends, family members, people that you know, share it with coworkers, hear someone talking about building a website or getting ready to start a podcast. Tell them you've got a deal for them. Help them save money. Every referral is just like an in-kind show donation. Keeps GoDaddy in line here. Keeps them happy with the number of products that we're able to sell for them. So definitely check all things out at geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. We hope you'll recommend those. Link to that page and Twitter, Facebook, and so forth. Don't write the codes on the bathroom wall. Please don't do that. But we do definitely appreciate when you do share the codes with your friends and family. It's greatly appreciated. So anyway, thanks GoDaddy for a longtime sponsor here again, geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. So for those of you on Facebook, if you want to say hello, please do. I'm on the StreamYard page. I don't know how many of the comments will click through, but I don't have as many screens as I normally do here. So if you make a comment today, I'll try to respond during the show if it actually shows up in the chat here. I do apologize for no show on Monday, and really what it boils down to is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I was crushed. I mean, just absolutely, purely crushed, and three 12-hour days in a row, things have just been busy, lots of meetings, a meetup here in Columbus, it just on and on and on and on. Today wasn't as bad, only 10 hours today, so it's been a very, very busy week. Head spinning just a little about everything that has been going on here in the office. It's kind of crazy in the amount of stuff in the meetings, and just we've got a lot going on. It's very, very exciting time for us, and I continue to move the ball forward in the podcasting space. But I get back to Michigan tomorrow night, bust out of here late tomorrow afternoon, and then we'll have the new media show on Saturday from the studio in Michigan. And then all next week, I'll be in Michigan, of course, the Monday following show as well. And then on the week that Valentine's Day falls on, I'm going to be in Los Angeles for Podcast Movement Evolutions, and then back home for a few days, and then out to Houston for a conference called Spark. So, but anyway, next week, I think the next three shows in a row, at least, will be from the Michigan studio. So be aware of that. We try to get the show started about the same time, 7:30, maybe as late as 8 Eastern. So if you want to join and watch live, you can do. But anyway, I got a whole bunch of stuff today. Kirk was able to just find an incredible amount of content, and lots happening in the tech world that's been going on. And let's see if I can find the right page to get started on. Amazon today announces their fourth quarter sales, and it was up 21% to $87.4 billion. And boy, the stock market reacted. Their stocks just exploded. So operating cash flow increased 25% to $38.5 billion for the trailing 12 months, compared with $30.7 billion for the trailing 12 months of December 2018. Free cash flow increased by $25.8 billion for the trailing 12 months, compared to $19.4 billion for the trailing 12 months in 18. Free cash flow less principal repayments of finance and leases and finance obligations increased to $16.2 billion versus $11.6 billion in 2018. But really what's happened here is their sales just exploded in the fourth quarter to $87.4 billion compared with $72.4 billion in the fourth. And I tell you, this was excluding the $120 million unfavorable impact from year-over-year changes in foreign exchange rates throughout the quarter. Again, net sales increased 21% compared to the fourth quarter of 2018. And operating income increased proportionally to $3.9 billion in the fourth quarter, compared with operating income of $3.8 billion in the fourth quarter of 2018. But net income increased $3.3 billion in the fourth quarter, or $6.47 per diluted share, compared with a net income of $3 billion, or $6.04 in 2018. But they had a fantastic year, and the stock market reacted. I heard their stock was way up today. So Amazon knocking it out of the ballpark and meeting and exceeding expectations. At the same time, the FTC is getting hardcore on robocallers. They are warning the phone companies, and they're sending out 19 notices to phone companies not to help robocallers. In the letter threatening legal action, the FTC warned 19 internet-based phone companies against assisting robocallers. The letter is the latest move from the U.S. government as it ramps up its effort to stop robocalls. They did not specify which voice over IP phone companies it put on notice, but said those companies could be held liable for assisting any robocaller clients who engage in illegal activity aimed at defrauding consumers. Specifically, FTC pointed to clients who spoof phone numbers, call consumers who are on the national do not call registry list, and poses government agencies or play pre-recorded telemarketing messages. So this is a good thing, because many of these folks that are doing these voice IP stuff are overseas, where the FTC cannot touch them. So it's smart that they're going after the voice IP companies in which they can make an impact on, because they say voice IP service providers play a unique role in the robocall ecosystem, allowing fraudsters and abusive telemarketers to call consumers a fraction of a penny per minute. And these warning letters put voice IP providers on notice that they will take action when they knowingly facilitate illegal robocalls. Now, the Justice Department's first assortment of a civil complaint against carriers for facilitating robocalls on their network saw two major actions filed in courts on Tuesday. During 2019, 58.5 billion robocalls were made, according to UMail. On December 5th, the House passed a bill to block robocalls, with the Senate passing the legislation later that month. Now, go on to that. The FCC is wants to fine one man almost $13 million for making 6,000 robocalls. Now, think about that. They just said in the last piece that there were 58.5 billion robocalls, and they want to just fine one dude $13 million for just making 6,000. He harassed six people in six states. And, you know, when the FCC typically finds robocallers, they usually these are operations that involve shady companies. But not so with the agency's latest proposed action, which targets a single individual. And again, it wants to find this one individual $12,910,000. And all the person made 6,000 calls in California, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Iowa, and Virginia using an online tool that allowed them to mask their calls as coming from a local number. The SEC says the man's wanted to gain notoriety and publicity for their website and personal brand. To that end, all their calls had some political angle. In one campaign, for instance, the person made 827 calls to people in the town of Brooklyn, Iowa, following the murder of a local college student and the arrest of an illegal alien from Mexico for the crime, according to Engadget. While the FCC doesn't explicitly mention the name of the victim, it is very likely a cause related to the death of Molly Tibbetts. The agency says the robocaller's racist message talked about a brown horde that the murder victim would have wanted the town to kill them all. The robocallers even went so far as to phone the parents of the victim. Despite new laws like the TRACED Act, it's unclear if the FCC will be able to get any money from the person. The agency doesn't have the best track record, of course, when it comes to successfully collecting the fines it imposes on robocallers. And according to a 2019 Wall Street Journal report, since 2015, the federal agencies has ordered violators of the Telephone Consumer Protection Act to pay $208.4 million, but up to this point, they have only collected $6,790. That tells you how effective they have not been. Again, if you're on Facebook, make sure you say hi. I don't think I can see the responses here. I hope that you're saying hello. Glad that you're on watching tonight. So how much are we paying for our subscription services? This is an article over in the New York Times. They say the dollars are adding up fast, and there's some tips for pruning subscriptions you no longer use. In 2019, it's estimated that we each spent $640 on digital subscriptions, like streaming video and music services, cloud storage, dating apps, and online productivity tools. The New York Times by Mint, the online budgeting tool owned by Intuit, using data from its millions of users, said that was up about 7% from $598 in 2017. We increased our spending most last year on streaming TV services, Netflix, Hulu, Disney+, Apple TV, CBS. While that was far cheaper than most traditional cable packages, which cost roughly $1,200 a year, it was up 30% from the $130 we spent on streaming TV services in 2017. I spent a lot more than that on streaming services. So anyway, they've got kind of this breakdown, and they talk about maybe it's time to look at everything that you are spending money on. Excuse me, and trying to cancel some of those bills. And you should do an audit of your subscriptions. You should look at your credit card bill. You should look at your bank statement and look at your mobile devices. Definitely look at Amazon subscriptions, YouTube, that kind of stuff. Decide what you're using and what you're not using, and take a pruning shears. So it's a lot easier to cancel these online services than calling your cable company and trying to renegotiate a bill. You can just go online and cancel these things. So maybe it's time to take a look. And you cut your cord for a reason. Now cut those services that aren't providing you a good service. Super Bowl Sunday is this coming Sunday, and we're going to see lots of ads. Of course, a lot of publicity going on about that here in the last couple of days. But there is an ad that has been put together by Olay, and it's a new space-themed Super Bowl commercial. And it says, Operation Make Space for Women is ready for liftoff. And this is really a very interesting campaign. I think it's incredibly smart what they're doing here. So the commercial, which stars journalist Katie Couric, actress Taraji P. Henson, And comedian Busy Phillips uses a fictional space mission to promote Olay's pledge to donate up to $500,000 to Girls Who Code, a nonprofit that engages young women in computer sciences and STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics activities. So Spot Twitch includes a call to action. Use the hashtag MakeSpaceForWomen on Twitter to increase Olay's donation, is set to air during the first quarter of the Super Bowl. Now, I don't know how much they paid for this ad. And I heard that Super Bowl ads were going for much as $5 million. And if Olay's making a pledge to donate $500,000 to Girls Who Code, which is a great nonprofit that engages young women again, why didn't they just write a check for $5 million? Or whatever the ad cost. Now, I don't know if they're going to up their donation or not. This is not clear in this article. But anyway, this will make its appearance and is in conjunction with Olay's wanting to donate up to $500,000 to the Girls Who Code, again, this nonprofit that promotes STEM. So we will see. But Olay Skin, Make Space for Women, hashtag dollar to Girls Who Code. So we'll see what this all is all about when the ad comes out. So definitely check it out. Link, of course, Super Bowl, you'll be watching that as well. All right, let's move on here. NASA's authorized bill advances in House, proposed limits on commercial partners, spurring concerns. So NASA has, their authorization bill, their spending bill, has proceeded through the House without so far any amendments addressing major concerns raised by the agency administrators about its effect on lunar exploration. Has the House really ever, has they gotten anything done? But the NASA is basically saying, hey, in this budget, you're restricting us from working with folks like SpaceX to get to the moon, and specifically in the capsule. So they've got some concerns on this, and they want the bill changed so that they can continue to do the government commercial collaborations here. Amendments to H.R. 5666 approved on Wednesday concerns matters such as commercial use of NASA facilities and access to routes to launch facilities at Kennedy Space Center. However, proposals, several significant changes to NASA programming, which were discussed only briefly at the meeting, including directives such as extending the National Space Station to 2028, and creating a Moon to Mars program office to oversee human exploration of the moon. And also, the bill suggests moving the proposed Gateway space station from lunar orbit to the vicinity of the moon to allow structure to support Mars exploration. So it's an interesting move here. I think that the government / private companies is a good use of taxpayer dollars here when we get efficiencies from commercial companies. So we'll see where this leads. But anyway, some concerns by the NASA folks. For those of you that follow Einstein's and all of the predictions he made, space-time is swirling around a dead star, proving Einstein right again. And it's basically about the way the fabric of space and time swirls in a cosmic whirlpool around a dead star. This prediction is a phenomenon known as frame dragging or lens flaring effect. It states that space-time will churn around a massive rotating body. For example, imagine Earth submerged in honey. As the planet rotated, the honey around it would swirl, and the same holds true with space-time. So those of you that are interested in these types of the deep subjects of science and stuff that Einstein came up with, this is a good article for you. A link will be up in the show notes, of course. Now, many of you saw on, what is it? What is the name of the series? Oh my gosh, it's the Star Wars spinoff. The baby-sized Yoda. Oh my gosh, I'm pulling a brain fart here. But a life-size baby Yoda replica opens for pre-order, and the website that was running on immediately crashed. I have no idea how much this is going to cost. Sideshow Collectibles had a pre-order of the baby Yoda The one-to-one scale figurine measures 16.5 inches tall and stands on a small black base. But more impressive is the craftsmanship, although we can only see a prototype for the moment. Everything from the wisps and white hair on Baby Yoda's head to the little pointed fingernails is absolutely spot on. Oh, yeah. So it's so inspired by its unique on-screen appearance, this mixed media stature features tan fabric coat swaddling. The child, as it gazes up with charming wide eyes, hiding the silver shift knob from the razor's crest in the right hand, reads the official description. Now, how much is it going to be? Oh, it's not bad. Oh, whoo! The Sideshow Baby Yoda costs $350. Now, before you ask, there are payment plans. There are some plastic ones available from Best Buy and Amazon for $10 to $20. But $350, I bet you this thing is just going to absolutely sell out, go like crazy. So anyway, if you want a Baby Yoda, you definitely can pick one up. Link will be up in the show notes. Verizon's add three more 5G cities, bringing the total count to 34. Little Rock, Kansas City, and Cincinnati are the latest to get Verizon 5G. And if you have a 5G phone, which most of us don't, enjoy. Also, it's being predicted that U.S. car buyers will pay a few grand more for hands-free driving. Now, we are not anywhere near a point of having true hands-free driving, but they say that a car, if it was produced today, will add about $3,300 to the price to have self-driving features or hands-free driving. The latest results come from an Alex partner study. The consulting firm surveyed more than 6,500 customers in six countries and found the value of autonomy varies greatly. While Americans think 9% atop the sales price is fine, China thinks 8% is a magic number. Meanwhile, in Germany, car buyers would pay 24% more for self-driving capabilities. Now, that's quite a premium to swallow. You know, I $3,300, as much driving as I'm doing now. You know, I think I put 11,000 miles on my car since June. That would be awesome. $3,300 to have self-driving, true self-driving, where it gets up much higher in the level of autonomy. So can't wait. Really, really cannot wait for this. But we'll see where that falls out here in the next 10 years. All right, those of you the Galaxy fans, the Galaxy S20 will be released on March 6th. No word yet on the new foldable, though. So Samsung is set to debut the S20 series, as well as a clamshell foldable. They may be slightly more expensive than you'd like, but the Samsung Galaxy S20 series is closer to launch than ever. What does it say what they're going to think they're going to run? Probably $1,000 or more. So anyway, for the S20, it's coming very, very soon. At the same time, Samsung has delayed the Galaxy Book S, and it's now going to arrive on February 13th, and it's available for pre-order now. Ring, with all the trouble they've been having, Ring is rolling out its new Control Center Privacy Dashboard. So, you know, they've taken a lot of heat lately. Lots of criticism in the past several months for failing to protect its customers. While it's true that some of the widely reported hacks of Ring cameras were due to people using the same passwords on multiple services, Ring says its new dashboard should alleviate that criticism while also providing better visibility as to which local police departments are participating in the Ring Neighborhoods program. The new control center also gives users the opt-out choices when law enforcement agencies request recordings from their Ring cameras. Wow. The most important update is a two-factor verification will apply only to new accounts. However, the security setting will remain optional for existing users, and even new users will have that choice to opt out during the device setup, however unwise that decision may be. On the bright side, it will be easy for users to check the status of two-factor authentication right from the Ring app's dashboard. The new control center will also give you at a glance look as to all the client devices, smartphones, computer, tablets that are authorized to log into your Ring account and empower you to revoke that access with a touch. You'll be able to do the same thing with shared users and for linked account services such as Alexa, SmartThings, or IFTTT that you've linked to your Ring account. So they're trying to, get ahead of this, and good to see that they are doing what they're doing. AT&T slash billions from network spending, at the same time cutting tens of thousands of jobs. Despite government favors, AT&T capital spending and employment keep declining. AT&T slashed capital expenditures by more than $1.6 billion in 2019 and projects a capital investment cut of more than $3 billion in 2020. What's kind of interesting here, the broadband industry and the Federal Communication Commission have used capital expenditure as a measure of broadband network investment and have claimed that eliminating net neutrality rules and other such regulation would cause such investment to rise. But some of the biggest ISPs, such as Comcast and Charter, have been reducing capital expenditures despite getting their sought-after net neutrality repeal and large corporate tax cuts. At the same time, they plan to cut another 20,000 jobs. So this is crazy. The AT&T would use a corporate tax break to create 7,000 hard hat jobs. And AT&T said yesterday they had 247,800 employees at the end of 2019, down from 268,220 1 year earlier. That's a 7.6 drop in employment, with a plan to cut an additional 20,000 jobs. So if you work for AT&T, watch out. On the browser front, more than 200 browser extensions have been ejected from Firefox and Chrome stores. Firefox ousted almost 200 add-ons, while Google detects a significant increase in abuse. So they're trying to crack down on malicious and abusive extensions. One of them was a company that does interfacing for businesses and CRMs, and they had a whole bunch of extensions canceled. So if you've all of a sudden see some of your extensions have been removed, well, very likely here that it's because they were doing something they weren't supposed to. CBS has made a pilot-free version of Star Trek Picard available on YouTube for a limited time. They haven't said how long the period will be, but it is a full episode. All right, so this is very cool. So CBS has made the entirety of the first episode of its new series, Star Trek Picard, free. And again, trying to get us all into wanting to buy CBS All Access to watch the rest of the series. Anyone with CBS All Access, I want to hear from you. I really do. Have you watched the series? I don't even know if the whole thing's available. But what do you think? Is it worth the money? Not surprising, Apple outsold every other smartphone manufacturer last quarter. It leaped ahead of Samsung in late 2019, according to Strategy Analytics. And again, thanks to an excellent fourth quarter, Apple leaped forward of Samsung. It grabbed 18.9% of the market, besting Samsung by 0.5%. Overall, Apple shipped 7% more smartphones in the fourth quarter than it did in quarter four 2018. Samsung, by contrast, saw Q4 profits tumble, largely due to chips, with overall smartphone sales dropping slightly year over year. However, the Korean company said that the mobile revenue actually increased by 7% over last year, though not nearly enough to offset falling chip sales. Huawei actually displaced Apple as the number two worldwide smartphone vendor in all of 2019, with Samsung holding the number one spot. Huawei's position is in jeopardy despite achieving double-digit growth for the year. Huawei started to feel the impact of continued headwinds from the U.S. government trade actions. After three quarters of significant growth in 2019, Huawei's shipments declined by 7.4%, and overall smartphone sales were slightly down in 2019, 2.2% compared to 2018 globally. So this is a story we missed on Money, but Avast is shutting down its subsidiary that sold user data. This announcement comes just days after a report uncovered this subsidiary JumpShot. Now, Avast is shutting down its JumpShot subsidiary after a joint investigation by Motherboard and PC Mag found that the two were selling user data, surprise, 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 to a host of large companies, including Expedia, Intuit, and Kerrig. The news comes just days after the two publications published their reporting. So they found that Avast had been selling a whole host of sensitive user information, including Google searches, Google Maps, and even LinkedIn and YouTube activity data to some of the world's largest companies. The company obtained this data through its antivirus software, which it then packaged and sold through JumpShot. And while Avast required individuals to opt into its data sharing, the majority of users were not aware the company was selling their data, nor the scope or scale of the operations. JumpShot told customers one of its products, All Click Feeds, could track every click users made across a variety of websites in precise detail. I'm telling you, folks, we're the product here. We are becoming a product. They're making millions and billions of dollars on everything we do, what we eat, who we talk to, what we do online. It's ridiculous. It really, really is. And it's just going to continue to get worse. A press release out of Bangalore, SoftBank's Second Vision Fund has led a new round of funding for Silicon Valley-based drug delivery firm Alto Pharmacy that valued it over $1 billion. SoftBank's Vision Fund 2 contributed a majority of the funding round that totals a total of $250 million. At one point, the fund considered investing as much as $300 million, but eventually decided to limit its exposure. Other existing investors include Green Oaks Capital, Jackson Square Ventures, also participated in the Series D round. Alto Digital Pharmacy delivers prescriptions to patients in several cities in California, Nevada, Colorado, and Washington, is expected to announce the deal next week. I'm telling you, online drugs, legal drugs that you deliver and that you consume, it's a big business. And this is just delivery. It's crazy. How many have been in a Wawa? When I was traveling to Maryland, I was getting a sandwich at Wawa quite often. Hackers are selling card info stolen in last year's Wawa breach. As many as 30 million payment records may have been stolen from the convenience store chain. So again, if you purchase anything at the East Coast gas station and convenience store, between March and December of last year, there's a chance your credit card and debit card info has been sold onto the dark web. Well, that's me. And many of you too. As a matter of fact, I did a Wawa purchase last year in April in Florida, and I ate at Wawa several times in the early spring. Oh man, I tell you, I do like Wawa. I like it a lot. It's a great chain. If those of you that don't have one near you, they got some of the best subs and soups, and of course, it's a standard convenience store, gas station, all in one. Really do love the Wawa model. Apple has redesigned Maps app, and it's available across the U.S., adds real-time transit for those of you in Miami. And the redesign will include more accurate information overall, as well as comprehensive views of roads, buildings, parks, airports, malls, and public spaces. So they spent 2 years upgrading its map experience to better complete with Google Maps. So I guess we'll see that rolling out directly. All right, Groundhog Day holds a special day in my heart. That's the day that was my grandmother's birthday on my mom's side. And PETA wants to replace the old groundhog with an animatronic AI. They say the 137-year-old groundhog deserves to retire. Well, there's no groundhogs that are 137 years old. So they want to use artificial intelligence to replace Puxtawani Phil. In a letter signed by PETA founder and president Ingrid Newkirk, the organization calls on the Puxtawani Groundhog Club, the group that takes care of the world-famous woodchuck, to allow the rodent to retire and let a robot like Sony's adorable Aibo dog take over the job of predicting the weather. I would be shocked if this goes anywhere. Well, maybe we can do it in conjunction, have both. This makes me laugh, and we'll have to watch this one over the next couple of years. Because the last time the FCC gave some companies some money, they didn't get it all spent in rolling out rural broadband. So the FCC has committed $20.4 billion to help close the rural divide. $16 billion will bring high-speed broadband to wholly unserved areas. Over the next 10 years, they're going to spend a total of $20.4 billion to bring high-speed broadband to underserved rural America. And they say this is the biggest step we've taken to close the digital divide. In the first phase, beginning later this year, the SEC will make up to $16 billion available to areas that are wholly unserved. It will demand broadband speeds of at least 25 megs, and the funding will be made available through reserve auction, a practice meant to drive competition. An estimated 6 million rural homes and businesses could be eligible for bidding. Phase 2 will make the remaining $4.4 billion available to partially served areas as well as unserved areas that weren't awarded in the first phase. The investment will be made through the Rural Digital Opportunity Fund. Remember, we've spent a bunch of money already on this, and companies like Frontier did not meet their goals. This investment follows the heels of a $9 billion fund for rural 5G that the FCC announced last month. Last year, it also approved $137 million to expand rural broadband across 36,579 homes. Over the next decade, improving access to high-speed internet. Well, Elon Musk just put like 60 more microsatellites in orbit. And let's be frank, I think he's going to beat them all to getting rural broadband served. Google is talking about space out with Google Earth on mobile. We all know stars are magical. We get out in the very darkest part of the country and you have a clear skies. And my goodness, it's just beautiful. So the Google Earth team understand people's desire to see stars just as much as they want to see planet Earth. The Google Earth mobile app now offers wide views of our star universe, just as Earth for the Web and Earth Pro have done for some time. So it's available now on your mobile app. You guys remember the Spitzer Space Telescope? Well, NASA shut down the prolific observatory. It launched in 2003. To look at the universe in the infrared part of the electromagnetic spectrum, allowing scientists to view objects that are cooler than the stars that emit visible light. Spitzer could view the structures of galaxies and also expanded on its original mission by watching a variety of cosmic objects. So they basically put the satellite in permanent shutdown, and they see that as it continues its outbound run, that at some point, it's probably going to run into a debris field and probably be destroyed. So I don't know how far out it is. It doesn't say. But sounds like, and they had a big challenge with the distances of the observatory, how far it's out and actually doing the mission. So anyway, it is no more. They have shut it down. At the same time, today, no satellite crash. Two pieces of space junk whiz safely by one another. And get this, here's the distance. They predicted a 0.07% chance of collision, but its estimated close approach distance was 154 feet. And they were traveling like a combined speed of like 32,000 miles per hour going the opposite direction. That would have been a serious train wreck had they run into each other. And these are derelict satellites that are in a low Earth orbit. It's just too bad we can't deorbit some of this stuff that's up there just whizzing around. Again, just kind of talking about what I talked about a few minutes ago, SpaceX successfully launched 60 more Starlink satellites into orbit. This brings the total to 240. And of course, I did miss the launch of their test launch of their Crew Dragon capsule. I haven't watched that video yet. I need to do that. But anyway, another launch, another successful launch by SpaceX. Kazakhstan. I bet you most of you don't even know where Kazakhstan is on the map. Kazakhstan has faster internet than Australia. Australia internet ranked 68th in the world, below Kazakhstan spotted number 65. And of course, the United States is number 11. So the U.S. stopped short of cracking the top 10th ranking of 11th. Sweden is number 10, and it had an average download speed of 131.13 megabytes, just putting it above the United States, 130.79 megs. The U.K. came in fifth. The U.K. came in at 45th at about 3 megs faster than Russia. So like most things, Australian internet has been slowed down by politics, according to this article. Mobile internet is a different game, though. There, Australia is ranked 6th in the world at 67.66 megs, and the U.S. 36th at 41 megs, with the U.K. at 48th at 35.57. So How does that make you feel, the view that listened to the show down under? LG struggling in the mobile division, lost over $850 million in 2019. Record sales of home appliances last year helped LG achieve its highest annual revenue in its history, but yet the mobile division just burned cash left and right. Brexit is going to bring back roaming fees, and I guess that goes into effect when? Today? Is today the last? When do they flip? Tomorrow, February 1st, or what is it, Saturday? So since 2017, UK citizens benefit from a EU-wide law stipulating that mobile customers must be allowed to use mobile internet throughout the union as if they were at home. And with UK due to leave the EU on Friday, apparently they're warning people that you could have roaming fees again, and you will only be liable up to £45 of out-of-network charges. They say there's no changes immediately, but just be aware if you live in the UK and you're, once again, you are no longer going to be part of the EU. So when that happens, the rules change. The Bird 2, you guys heard of, I don't even know who Bird is. Electric scooters have been found hanging in trees, thrown in lakes, hot wired and stripped, run over, laying in the trash. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You know, Scoot launched its scooters in 2018. But Scoot, now owned by Bird, introduced a new scooter Thursday, dubbed Bird 2. It'll be available in San Francisco, then roll out to other cities. And they're saying that it comes with anti-theft encryption, mostly hidden brake cables, and an anti-tipping kickstand. I'm sure they're still going to be spread out everywhere and be an annoyance. But more scooters, updated scooters for San Francisco. Samsung reported 34% dip in quarter four profits despite strong smartphone sales. Samsung's mobile business registered an impressive 67% increase in operating profit in Q4 2019. Wow. So they were up, but their profit was down. So, wow. Well, they didn't keep their cost in line, did they? All right, so you're looking for a phone for your kid. Well, there's CNET has the four best phones to get your kid in 2020. Think about battery life, durability, and resilience, because we know kids never break anything. The number one, the Nokia 3310, available for about $50 at Best Buy. The Gizmo Watch, $180 with 4G LTE connected smartwatch for kids 3 to 11. Palm, which is another one. Its Palm retails at $350 for unlocked device, but Verizon offers payment plans. And the iPhone 7, released in 2018, is another one at $185. So I think I like the $50 version for kids under 5. And of course, they have a variety of age groups in these articles. Okay, there's a company out there that wants to turn your home camera into a license reader. Recore Systems wants to make surveillance tech available to you and your neighbors. For years, license plate readers have been used by police to collect information on millions of people, whether for criminal investigations, profiling, illegal blackmailing. Really? Well, that's what the article here from CNET says. Now Recore Systems wants to put that technology in your neighbor's hands. On Thursday, company launched Watchman, an automatic license plates reader technology, it says, can be installed on any home security camera. Recore software, known as OpenALPR, again, can analyze streaming video to find license plates captured and recording. The product's been publicly available since 2015, but this is the first time Recore is specifically marketing to individual homeowners rather than businesses. So what do you do with that information? Watchman uses a whitelist-blacklist system, allowing customers to log plate numbers for cars that are proved to be near their homes or warn them when a vehicle has been flagged as a potential threat. Wow. It's as effective and accurate as our law enforcement version. They essentially get a vast network of ALPRs that they get to use for whatever purpose they want. In return, citizens get no say in what tech the police use. Okay, so this is like facial recognition for license plates. So I guess this can be used to track your neighbors. This is kind of weird. It really, what do you feel about this? About making the camera in your home able to read license plates. I guess if you live on a driveway or you're living on a kind of isolated street, Maybe, I don't know, but it still weirds me out just a little bit. It really, really does. What say you, geeknews@gmail.com? All right, the 8 cheapest cloud storage providers. And of course, the most generous free cloud is Google Drive, followed by iCloud, Google One, P Cloud, never even heard that before. MediaFire is another one, Microsoft OneDrive. The cheapest apparently is sync.com. And the cheapest massive cloud storage is mega.mz. So storing stuff in New Zealand, I guess. So my link will be up in the show notes on this. Verizon gets a subscriber boost from Disney Plus, but the company misses analyst earnings expectations. Other parts of the business drag down its profitability. New York-based carrier said Thursday that it added a total of 790,000 new postpaid phone subscribers compared to 653,000 during the same period a year ago. Verizon delivered strong operational performance the fourth quarter. But the news today isn't all rosy. The company missed profit estimates. It reported earnings, excluding other items, of $1.13 a share. Analysts had expected the company to earn $1.15. Verizon said it took a $200 million charge to write off down the value of its media business, which includes Yahoo and AOL. Talk about two absolutely horrible investments. So details will be for you in the show notes. Facebook has settled a lawsuit over its use of facial recognition for $550 million. But at the same time, it announced a quarter four profit of $7.3 billion. But after years of wrangling in court, Facebook has settled a lawsuit over its use of facial recognition last year to agree to stop turning on the tech to scan photos by default, which billed a template of your facial data and automatically suggested tags and photos based on it during its earnings calls on Wednesday to announce quarter four profits. CFO David Wehner gave a one-line mention to the fact they have a settlement principle to pay $550 million to resolve the lawsuit. The plaintiff sued based on the Illinois Biometric Information Privacy Act, arguing that service did not receive explicit consent from users before collecting the data. Asked about the settlement, spokesman responded, "We decided to pursue a settlement as it was in the best interest of our community and our stakeholders to move past this matter." The ACLU attorney Nathan Freed Wessler pointed out to the result as an example of what other states should do. This case is a great example of how states can take the lead to protect the residents' privacy rights despite Congress's failure to do so. I agree. Nintendo upgrades its fiscal year forecast as Switch hits 52.5 million consoles sold, and my son bought two. The one he got earlier in the year, and then he lost one in his trip out to Michigan, and the second one he bought after Christmas. So my son helped out a little bit here, but Nintendo said it had revenues would hit $11.48 billion in the fiscal year, about the same as predicted in October. And operating profit would be $2.7 billion, up from a previous forecast of $2.3, and a lot of it because of the Switch. And finally tonight in the stack here, best places to buy or sell a used phone in 2020. And we've got a list of different companies that are, some of you know, eBay, Gazelle, Craigslist and so forth, Swappa, Uptrade and so forth. I do have a couple of emails, I think, that have come in. Let me find those. Am I in the right email box? Yes, I am. And let me load this up. Let's see here. Lonnie says, okay, so I got a feedback. And Christmas, Todd, I read your request for support on the studio expansion, but you might get more take up if you helped us understand what the in-studio enhancement would deliver and how that would benefit the listeners. I think right now, you know, definitely, Chris, I'm in a early stage planning. And I actually talked it over a little bit with my extended family. And, you know, there's real opportunity there. But you're right. I owe you guys a complete plan, an explanation of what we're going to do. It's a big space. It's 2,000 square feet, you know, so it's double what I have. You know, I've got 1,000 square foot now, so it's double what I currently have. And, you know, I think it's true. If we want to build something out and build a creator space and build something that would be cool that we could have kind of a twit type of situation where we're having multiple shows being run, yeah, I got to come up with a plan and see if we can execute it and what it would mean. And so I do definitely appreciate your feedback, and I will take that into account and start some planning and then come back to you folks on it, all right? What else? There was something that came in from Lonnie. What was his discussion? Sorry, something's messed up here with the email. I got an email from Michael Derry. He says, hey, Todd, having experience with three of the top four smart speakers and the technology behind them, I am more than leery about sitting in the back of an autonomously piloted conveyance. Sure, everything is app-based, controlled from your phone app, but if you have no split-second override control, it's my firm belief, based on my experience with so-called artificial intelligence, that you're going to die. I can't tell you how many times I've asked one of my smart speakers question. It says something akin to, something went wrong, please try again in a few minutes, or, sorry, I can't help you with that. Picture a small aircraft or large drone careening toward you. Do you think the software is going to know how to swerve perpendicular to that flight path? You were thinking rural roads would be a better test. Is the software going to understand the tractor driver waving you to go around? Or are you and your Uber going to be stuck there going 14 miles an hour? Or what about an active rock slide scenario on a mountain road? Can those cameras see up hills? I think it's going to be a long time before I trust autonomous vehicles. Keep up the great work, Todd. Michael. You know, Michael, I also look at this from another perspective. And, you know, we lost a great, you know, with the loss of Kobe Bryant and his daughter and the rest of the passengers on that helicopter crash. And, you know, having been involved in flying in helicopters and aircraft for many, many years, I just cringe because we know in the end that it's probably going to come down to pilot error. There's no reason, absolutely no reason for that helicopter to have basically ran into a mountain. With all the modern technology that is available to us today, with mapping, with the systems knowing the height that you are over land, the even onboard systems with telling you, you know, when you're flying and all of a sudden you're getting a warning that the ground is coming at you, even under non-visual flight, being IFR. Which I don't know if this pilot was authorized to be IFR, which it doesn't sound like he was, because he was using flight following, but flight following is not a guarantee of safety in any means. That accident probably should have never happened. So I think even with man behind the wheel or control, things happen and mistakes are made and you're going to die. And the same thing with this automated vehicle and being able to honestly let you drive. In my car now, you know, I don't trust it. It's nice to be able to put my hand lightly on the steering wheel and allow it to go down the road. But there are times when I'm glad I had my hand on the steering wheel because it decides it's going to like turn right or like try to take an exit that's not there or try to drive me into a ditch because the lines on the road got a little flaky. So yeah, there's nothing perfect yet for sure with this automated. You know, this, you know, having the assisted lane centering is, man, it's absolutely fantastic. When it works really, really well. But when things go sideways, it can go sideways in an instant, just like you said. So I think we're a ways away. I agree with you. But in 10 years, I think we're going to see some significant improvement. We'll see where we're at in 10. I'm hoping in 10 that I'll be able to keep a hand on the wheel and it's just going to drive. You know, I don't think we're going to get to the point of being completely autonomous. You know, just like, you know, I was coming home, was in Michigan, I was driving to the house and on my peripheral vision, it was dark. I could see reflections of eyeballs and it was deer that were in a field and four or five deer. And I immediately like braked really, really hard. And sure enough, one of them took the chance and crossed the road in front of me. If that had been an autonomous vehicle and the car would not have been able to discern that there were animal eyeballs off the side of the road, I'd have had a deer that would have been, right in the grill. no doubt in my mind. So you're right. There's not, all these scenarios are not perfect. Got an email from Richard. He says, "Hey, Todd," and this was involved with the EU wanting Apple to go to a common cable. He said, "Not what they should do. No, what they should do is for every Lightning cable we trade in to Apple for the copper, they should give us so much off the cost of a USB-C cable. They can melt down all parts of the Lightning cable to make USB-C cables." I agree. I absolutely agree. Good idea. But this is never going to happen. They're never going to trade in. We already have piles and piles and piles and piles of cables that are going into landfills, which they probably should be recycled for copper. Someday they're going to be digging up landfills to recover cable if it hasn't already completely deteriorated and went back into the soil. All right, that's going to bring me into the show. Well, thank you all for being here. Thanks for being part of our Ohana. Again, sorry about no show on Monday. I just literally went back to the room and face-planted after having left the house at 5 o'clock in the morning. It was too rough of a day. So I definitely appreciate you all being here and being part of the Ohana. I'll be back in Michigan again on Monday for a show there in the regular studio. It's been my pleasure bringing this show. Thanks again for being part of the family here. Drop your email, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. It's been my pleasure bringing the podcast. We'll see everyone next time. Everyone take care. We'll see you. Bye-bye.